Welcome to the Pirates Overboard Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostrich, joined alongside Jonathan Reuters. We are two grad student athletes that will sit down with Seton Hall athletes to get to know them more on a personal level. We're going to talk to them about their athletic career, academic goals, and what it's like being a part of the Seton Hall community. We are excited to do this across the year as we touch into each sports community. Make sure you go follow us on the Pirates Overboard Instagram page to get the latest news, upcoming guests, and highlights from shows previously. So, Jonathan, who are we talking to today?
Alrighty, we have Ben Endersby on today. Ben competes in sprint freestyle and breaststroke on the men's swim and dive team, is a finance major in the highly respected Stillman School of Business, and a hidden opponent member here at Seton Hall. A hometown kid, Ben calls Caldwell, New Jersey home, is our very first transfer on the podcast, so we're excited to have him on. Academically, he is a multiple-time Dean's List member with a remarkable 3.9 GPA as a current junior, and athletically, he is an All-Big East team nominee, a Big East champion, and a Seton Hall record holder in the 400 medley, which was just set this past swim season. No big deal.
No big deal.
Very pumped to have Ben on tonight, so without further ado, Ben Endersby. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah,
Appreciate it.
This is exciting to have you on. First swimmer, so a little near and dear to my heart, Jonathan, having you on, because we kind of talked about it before. This is an easy one for me. I know all about this guy. I swam with him on club for a little bit. I now swam with him for a year and a half, but going to be 2 years, so it's exciting. So how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Just finished a practice probably like an hour ago, and so, yeah, good practice, good classes today, yeah.
Yeah, we'll take it and run. So first things first, before we really get started on you, there's something we talked about here last night on the show, Jonathan. You decided to change your walk-up song. Now, we all know Jonathan's walk-up nickname here at Seton Hall is Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
So he was walking on Sunshine was his walk-up song for 4 years. He's changed it this year. What is your take on this? What is this breaking news?
Let's see. I would say as Sunshine, you kind of got to keep it, but you know.
But I do.
Yeah, you got to respect the change.
He's got the Rocky theme song coming. One
it's
of them.
The Rocky theme song.
No, it's from Top Gun. It's the beginning of Top Gun.
Oh, I can't argue with that.
The gong.
Yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah. So like, it's a good like fit, but it's like, it was shocking. It was a revelation for me yesterday when I found out. I'm like, no, because calling all the games, I'm like, here comes Sunshine. I'm ready.
Are we
like,
switching the nickname now? Or we're keeping Sunshine.
Can I be Top Gun? Is that like
there we go.
We got Maverick.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Perfect. Yeah. So your new nickname is Maverick.
I don't
might
know what,
confuse some people.
Yeah.
But no, if he's for real Sunshine here. And all jokes aside, but that we're just joking with you. But yeah, we're almost about a good bit into the swim season now. We're now in October. So how is the season been going so far for you? Talk to us about that process.
Yeah. So over the course of the summer, I learned I needed surgery, so that was kind of a curveball. It was called the UPJ obstruction, so it's with my kidney, and basically, like, when I would go to drink water, it would backflow into my kidney, give me back pain, kind of an inconvenience, to say the least.
Just a little.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, got surgery, so I've been out, recovery's been 6 weeks, so just getting back into it, like, my second full week of practices, which is pretty good. And so far I feel great. Like, the stuff that I worked on over the summer seems to have transferred, even though I was out.
Awesome.
And especially being a sprinter, it's not like the aerobic really went away, because I don't have too much of an aerobic to start with, so yeah.
No, you're the aerobic weapon. Don't forget it. Yeah. That is your nickname
that
on
is.
Deck. He will have like, so we'll have practices where, like, he's a sprinter, so we'll touch a little bit of that aerobic practice, just a little bit. Just, they get a taste of it.
Right. Yeah.
And he'll be in the water. Hey, Derek, I'm the aerobic weapon. I'm going off crazy. Or he'll, like, go on the A interview, like, I'm the aerobic weapon. I got this.
Yeah.
So how'd that come to be?
Well, freshman year, I was trying to figure out what's happening, because you hop into a new environment. Kind of gotta get your feet set. And so something my old club team did was a lot of sprints, and that kind of shows in my events and everything. And so coming here, we did a lot of aerobic work, like right off the bat.
Fair.
And so I think they basically had to make a new interval for me. Like, there's the men's interval, the women's interval, and Ben's interval. Because I would go, and I would be good for probably, like, first third or half the set.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was downhill real quick. So it was like, yeah, stuff kind of backfired. So I'm good for, like, probably 50, 100, 200. But once we get going to, like, holding pace for mm-hmm. a 500, that's just out of my ballpark.
So here's the thing. When we do those aerobic sets, here's what kind of goes on. Because he's that sprinter mentality, he takes it out as fast as he can. So, like, let's
just
say
full bore.
Guns ablaze.
Hypothetically, we're doing 10 100s on 105, which is usually our fastest interval and usually, like, a pretty, like, normal.
Yeah.
Like, just a regular set.
Okay.
Okay. The first three, he'll make all three. He'll be going 56, 57. He'll be gunning it. And then by four, it's off the deep end. It's something. But you've gotten a lot better.
This season, definitely, like, I worked on my technique. So, like, a more efficient stroke. So, then getting later in the set, I'm able to kind of keep my form, which goes a long way. I feel like half the swim is just technique. So, once you're able to hit technique and hold that, it makes a huge difference.
And plus, too, like, if you're doing all this aerobic stuff, like, you're only sprinting 50 yards. Exactly. So, yeah, forget that stuff. I'm just like, that's
like, yeah, let me go. I take it with a grain of salt. So,
yeah,
it's good training. It's not going to kill me, but when it comes to sprints and stuff, that's where I definitely
But he definitely makes it loud. He is loud and proud before those aerobic sets.
It's a mindset.
So you're the aerobic weapon. I'm Maverick. So nobody deal with two nicknames today.
There we go.
So talk to us about, like, kind of what you've seen so far out of the season. We've only had one meet, which is kind of a crazy change into our schedule. The past 4 years, we usually have meets through October, and then we have 2 weeks going into midseason in West Virginia. This year, it's a little different where we had our rider meet 2 Saturdays ago now. We had a weekend off, and now we're going to Bucknell. So talk to us about what you've seen so far.
So far, it's definitely a different environment because you lose those seniors that we had last year who brought a ton of energy and were just loud, love to be in your face, which we loved. But so it's definitely very different, but different's not always bad. Like, I definitely enjoy the guys every day they get there, they're ready to work. And I've definitely seen that. We may not be as loud as last year, but I think kind of our work speaks for itself. So,
yeah, that is for sure. And I feel like this year, especially being here for 4 years, there's a little bit of pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
This year, so it's kind of been so much fun to get up to that level.
And I know, at least from the outside looking in with the swimmers, I think I've mentioned this to you a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I think the swimmers, no offense to any other athletes, but you guys swim twice a day and you lift. Swimming's an all-body workout. Lifting is probably an all-body workout too. The amount of time you're doing it per week, like, you guys definitely grind out of all the athletes. I think, like, perspective-wise, like, man, like, just tip my cap to you guys for all the stuff that you do on a daily basis. So,
yeah, shout out Ange there for being, like, really creative with lift. We're doing more... What's the word I'm looking for? Like, we're not doing more for reps. We're doing, like, five reps of five. Let's go as heavy as we can get.
Yeah, we're getting good power, explosive, nice. Like, stuff that, well, personally as a sprinter, is perfect.
Yeah,
like, awesome. Definitely nice. What I need.
Sweet. And, like, stuff with, like, landmine presses where it's, like, more explosive actions with that stuff. Right. And, like, more band exercises. We have, like, terrible shoulders to begin with, so why put a bar across our chest or some dumbbells? Let's do some band work and stuff like that.
Got it.
So we had the rider meet. We had a really good time there, and Ben, obviously, sadly, Ben couldn't swim because coming back from the surgery.
It's all good.
But you are one of the captains here on the Seton Hall Swim and Dive team. We had our inner squad meet, blue versus white. It was an interesting result. The blue team one, sadly, I was part of the white team. So talk about that whole inner squad process. What does that look like with the draft process, of course, the games leading up? So talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, let's see. So I was blue team.
Yeah,
it's a tough loss for you, but great win for us. But draft process is basically like you got coach and then you got the team captains and you basically kind of go, you pick a guy swimmer, a girl swimmer, and then other team picks, goes back and forth, whole nine. And let's see, I would say our thought process, we were a little less organized. White team came in with a whole Excel spreadsheet, roster, who they wanted in.
Oh, man.
I know. I was intimidated, not going to lie.
You were scared.
And, yeah. not.
You got brownie points there.
Yeah, I wouldn't say scared, but I was like, maybe I should have prepared a little more for this. But then even our coach, Andrew, the blue team head coach, he was like, yeah, you're done for.
I was like, before the race even started.
Yeah, we didn't even start. We didn't even pick teams. And then after we picked, he was like, all right, maybe we have a chance. Okay. And I was like, all right, thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. But yeah, so we drafted. And then we were off to a nice loss. We lost three daily challenges, so how it works is basically you have daily challenges that kind of add up to the total points, mm-hmm. and each is like 10 points or something. And we were like second day down by 30 points. It was bad. And
then, white team was kind of on their high horse, not going to lie.
They were good. And then, you know, got a lot of talk from white team, which mm-hmm, rightfully so. You're up by 30.
Up by 30.
But we didn't stop. We talked right back, you know. Had confidence in what we had, and then
and then ended up with the meet on Saturday where had some alumni show up, and because of the challenges it went to like a tie during the week. The swim meet came about and I think it was a 20-point difference. It was a really close actual meet, so that was kind of cool, but it's the energy is so high, like even with your inter-squad inter-squad games. They're probably high intensity because you obviously want to beat your own guys across the field.
We have our Blue-White World Series coming up this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and that's always the most intense inter-squads we have. So I definitely understand what you guys are talking about, for sure.
It's nothing like racing your teammates. Playing your teammates.
Just having fun, like talking a little chirping here and there.
A little bragging rights are on the table.
Yeah, but then it's fun to realize like afterwards you're like, oh, I get to swim with all these guys now at this next meet, and let's go to work. So last question, really, before we get into your time before Seton Hall. What are some of the things that we're going into a big weekend? We're swimming at Bucknell. We're swimming Bucknell and Binghamton. It's going to be a long weekend, but that's besides the point. So what are some of the things that you're looking for as one of the swimmers for both the men's and the women's teams? Like, kind of improve upon from their last meet against Ryder.
Let's see. So I would say a big thing is kind of taking what we had last meet and just kind of making small adjustments to it. Mm-hmm. So I would say definitely bring the energy. It's going to be a long meet, so kind of keeping that energy, because all this kind of points towards Big East. So how I treat meets is kind of like a Saturday practice. And so it's then once we get to Big East, same thing, Saturday practice. So it's like while we go here, think about like our warm-ups. What are our warm-ups going to be that will be similar to Big East? What are our warm-downs going to be? And like, because now we have a warm down pool, so it's like taking care of your body while you're there and everything is definitely a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's like kind of tuning up those small details so that way when we get to Big East and those bigger meets down the end, like we're ready. So
I think also like preparing that travel aspect of it, like sitting on a bus for a little bit, then getting up and swimming a little bit, then kind of figuring out all those kinks. So I know you're excited to be.
I'm swimming.
You're swimming.
Yeah, I got the go-ahead.
So nice. That's awesome. Love
first
that.
First meet of the year for you, so we're excited to get you in the pool. So let's go way back when to a little small Ben. How'd you get into swimming to begin with?
So funny enough, I would always watch my sister swim, mm-hmm. and it would be here. So my club team would race here all the time. And so I kind of got dragged along as the youngest child, and it was like, all right, we're going to the swim meets. And I'd be like, okay. And I would basically go there, play on my DS, occasionally look up and watch a little bit of swimming. And so I was always around it. And then growing up, I played a whole bunch of sports. I did basketball, baseball, did tennis my junior year just for fun with some friends. But swim was like the constant. I started in third grade. Mm-hmm. So it was like always there. And then kind of as time went on, it was like, all right, you're pretty good at it. But, like, now's the time you got to choose. So it's, like, I believe after my freshman year, I was like, all right, this is something I want to do year-round. Because my club team, I would train year-round every once in a while. Like, I did, like, there were some swimmers. When we got here, I was like, you did that over? I was, like, blown away by what they did.
Right.
But, so kind of picked up swim from there and then kind of took it definitely more serious.
Yeah, so talk to us about, so we talked about it with Mark, and Mark Waller about it.
Whaler.
Yeah. No, I think it's Waller.
Waller?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's embarrassing. Sorry,
yeah,
Mark.
I know. We said it the whole time, and I'm like, Walker corrected me on it when we were at home. He's like, I'm like, what do you mean that's his last name? But anyway.
Sorry, Mark.
Sorry, Mark. Shout out, Mark.
He's the best.
He is the best. But we talked, we had a big conversation about high school sports versus club sports.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest examples of that is New Jersey swimming. And yeah. High school swimming and club swimming are two different realms. So like kind of touch upon that a little bit and like how you kind of managed both and what drew you to both to keep going through that. Like it's a stressful time during that winter.
Yeah, definitely for sure. So kind of the individual part of swimming is found in club sport because like I was never on a team until later on that was like good enough to really score big at those big meets. So it was kind of like individual, like you're doing it for yourself, doing it for times, which I liked because like how I swam reflected on like my work and everything. And I really enjoyed just like that individual challenge. But then I also enjoyed in high school, like being part of a team, because that's something I missed from basketball and baseball. Like later on in life was I never like had that team until high school swim. And so when you're swimming for a team and like an organization, it definitely like changes how you swim.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's no longer like if you do bad on a race, like in club, it's like, okay, I did bad in a race, like boohoo. But if you do bad in a race for your team, like it definitely hits you a little harder. And you, yeah.
And I think too, like you as a club swimmer on a high school team, you're kind of expected to like perform.
Yeah.
Like you're not like, I remember like during my high school days, like if I lost a race during my high school year, it's because I lost to someone really, really good or something was wrong.
Yeah.
Like it's a big difference because a lot of those high school swimmers just swim high school, which like that's awesome. Like do that, like be a part of a sport. But like the people that want to be involved for the team aspect, it's like, you got to like, we're relying on you to score some points here.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of pressure. And you don't think about it until you like look back at it. You're like, oh wow, there's a huge impact here.
Like it's expected.
Yeah.
I like having that
little expectation.
Pressure. Yeah. Swimming with a little pressure is definitely the best way to do it. Cause otherwise, what are you doing it for?
So. Yeah. So talk to us about, you've been a part of a couple small club teams. So like, talk to us about like what that was being like. You were on my club team. Shout out Jersey Flyers Aquatic Club out in Sea Caucus Hackensack. Yeah. But just talk to us about being a part of that little small team atmosphere.
Yeah. So I kind of like, so there's some big club teams in Jersey that kind of like, they're like the top performers and like, they kind of just overwhelm with numbers. But something I really loved about a small club team is you got to know everyone. Like, I only had, actually, it was a little chaotic at times, where you had like 10 people a lane, which is, if you think about it now, like that was crazy. But you knew everyone. You were like, it was a family. Like, you spent all day with them. You would, basically, the only time you weren't together was when you were at school or sleeping. So it was like every day you spent with them. And I just loved that family aspect. For sure.
Yeah, and that's what our club coach Ruben Zambrano taught us was like from a very young age that I was there for about 8 years. You were there for about two, three.
Yeah.
And but you're always part of that family, no matter what.
Right.
Like the biggest thing for him was that when it's your birthday, we're all getting out behind the blocks where he's going to give about a 5-minute speech. And then we're going to all sing happy birthday because it's like your day. This is a special day for you and you're part of this family. So we have to celebrate it with one another. So that was like the biggest thing, like, for me and like definitely for you because you got a part of a huge culture of that club team that kind of carried over coming to here, which has been an awesome transition.
There's nothing like the team sports. And I know you mentioned for basketball and baseball, how like working together and whatnot, and how swim, like maybe a little less so, but there still is like a team atmosphere and how like it still is really important. I can just sense it in you, like how much you love that atmosphere.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can't really, nothing else really beats it. I'm thinking for myself, like where the grandpa's here, only have this year left. And it's like, man, like I'm really going to miss that. And you really embrace that. So respect for you for doing that and recognizing that.
You think we should copyright that here? Like we've called
the
ourselves the grandpas. A couple times.
Let's not. I'm Maverick. So like, I can't do
that. Well, okay, Maverick. And we'll keep it at that. So talk to us about like being from a smaller team. Was it a little bit harder to get recruited or like, was it easier because it's kind of small fish, big pond?
So that's kind of the beauty of swimming is like your times are your times. Mm-hmm. So yes, you have, there's a point where you have to reach out to coaches, but if you have a certain time, like, and you reach out to a coach, that's your time. Like basketball, baseball, it's skill based and like you can put together a highlight reel and this and that, but like there's so many different variables. Like swim, it's like if you go at 21 and you're 53, you go at 21.
Yeah.
Like, right. It's pretty black and white. So the hardest part for me was kind of like reaching out to coaches, especially during my recruiting time was during COVID, which I didn't have a championship meet my sophomore and junior year, which was kind of like when I would reach out for recruiting, I would have my freshman times. Okay. So come senior year, I dropped like 3 seconds in my 100 breasts and dropped a ton of time in every event because I just never had that championship meet. So then I ended up going to a team where my times were a lot faster than their normal recruits. And okay. So that's where it was like kind of a little skewed up, but you know, kind of roll with it and go with it.
Yeah, so. Talk to us about a little bit that. So you committed your senior year to USMMA, US yep. Merchant Marine, which is a smaller Division III school. It's in the Metro Division with yeah. schools like TCNJ and Ramapo and stuff like that. So talk to us about, you got recruited by them first, and like, what was that experience like at USMMA, and then how does it differ from kind of being here?
Oh, it's black, like night and day. It's so different, but I definitely loved my time there. Mm-hmm. I was only there for 6 months until I decided to transfer.
So it's just a semester then?
Yeah. Okay. So basically, right out of high school, I had like 2 weeks of summer, and then we went straight into, right, it's called plebe summer. Okay. So it's like there, I believe it was 3 weeks where you, no phone, nothing. It's kind of like a mini boot camp.
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
Which I really enjoyed, like, yeah. kind of disconnecting and, like, just the people I met there and everything. I loved that. The life there, it's very different than here. Like, yes, yeah. we wake up early, but, like, you wake up there early and you go all day until the end. Like, right. there's no breaks. And it's like a normal day there was you wake up, you get in formation, you clean, and then you go to breakfast, class all day, and then you go to sports, and then you're doing homework till right. basically you wake up yeah. again. Like,
yeah.
sleep is very minimal there. And some things I really enjoyed about there was, like, you got a lot done in a day. Like, you don't realize how much you can do until you have to do it.
Yeah,
like, sure. you didn't really have an option. It was either sink or swim. So I really enjoyed that aspect. And then also the people there, phenomenal people. Mm-hmm. Like, you meet some really, really awesome guys.
It's also a beautiful campus.
Yeah.
Like, you're right on... what river is that?
It's right over the Throgs.
On the Hudson River.
Yeah.
You're right on it. It's a beautiful location.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. And then some cool thing, we could take boats out and stuff, like Boston Whalers, and take them out with your friends. It was super dope.
Sweet, yeah.
But definitely it was a weird transition coming here because it's like you have so much more time.
Right.
So it's mm-hmm. like, what do I do with all this time? You're like, yeah. I've never had this much. And so the big switch for me, the reason I switched was because of swim, actually. So a big dream of mine was to go far in swimming and see how far I could go.
Sure.
And just for me there, I felt like the goals that, like, yes, out of there, you can do amazing things. Like, right. there's so many opportunities, but I just didn't see myself getting where I wanted to go and swim there, which yeah. nothing against the program. It's yeah. just where I saw myself. And so that's where I made that switch, and I definitely wanted to take swim a little more serious and kind of just see where I could go with it.
Yeah.
Kind of take a leap of faith and trust myself and go with it. And so, yeah, coming here, it's
yeah, talk it's to us so, about getting recruited so by Coach Derek Saff. Like, were there other schools that you looked at and considered? I know I talked to Coach Saff or Coach Derek. I don't know why. Why am I calling Coach Saff? Derek earlier today, and like about your process of getting recruited here. So talk to us about the transfer portal as a whole. And, like, your story of getting recruited by Coach Derek.
Yeah. So, kind of first go-around was my senior year when I was still trying to decide. Mm-hmm. I reached out to Seton Hall. And because my sister swam here, so I kind of, like...
Shout out, Gracie.
Yeah. So, I kind of had, like, an idea of Seton Hall and kind of was very familiar because also I swam here with my club team. Like, mm-hmm. So, Seton Hall has kind of been... It's been on the radar. So, I reached out here first time, and I ended up going USMMA. And then I entered the transfer portal, and I reached out to, a whole bunch of schools. I was like, might as well see what happens.
Sure, yeah.
And I got replies from FSU, LSU, and like NJIT, and then Seton Hall. Those were like my couple big ones. And then I ended up sticking with Seton Hall because it was 15 minutes from my house. Yeah, can't really complain with that. Yeah. It had everything I wanted to do with swim, awesome business school, and it basically checked all the boxes. So I was like, why not?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just Gracie who came here. Linnea, your other older sister, also came here. So it's kind of like a family.
Oh, wow.
A big family
almost
tree.
Almost everyone.
Almost everyone. Your older brother did not make it to the hall.
He did
but
not.
But that's okay.
That's okay.
Big family.
Yeah.
Big family. Just go ahead. Like, what impact did the family have on you, swim-wise, just overall, and kind of like your lifestyle and whatnot?
So definitely, in terms of swim, they have a huge impact of, like, well, watching my sister swim, that's kind of what started the whole thing.
Right.
And then just kind of always looking up to my sisters.
Yeah.
That was a huge thing for me because they were always like, I would watch them at high school meets. So mm-hmm. that was kind of where I watched most of them. And they were like, they would always win their races. They would set records. And so it was like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I was like, that looks pretty cool.
That looks really fun. I love setting those records.
Yeah. I was like, I want to do that. Yeah. So that was definitely a role model that my sister set for me. And then in terms of my brother, his work ethic,
mm-hmm.
like he was someone who wasn't loud with what he did, but he would just put his head down and work.
Mm.
And that's something I also try to kind of copy or mimic or
Absolutely.
However you want to say it. But yeah.
Did your brother swim? I feel like I should know this. No. Did baseball was his sport?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was the only one who took swim lessons. And so I guess it didn't work out, but...
He said no to that water sport. He liked the land sports.
Which is crazy because he's 6'6". And I was like, that's a dream for a swimmer.
A dream swim bod right there.
He was also a pitcher in baseball. So, okay,
that works too. 6'6", 4'6".
Everything checks out.
Yeah.
So I got to reach out to Gracie before we came on today. And I just asked her, I'm like, what do you got on Ben? Like, talk to me about Ben. So she said to me, Ben has always had the best work ethic, especially when it comes to swim. I would love to try to be late and get out of some of the warm-up, where Ben would be rushing us all out the door because if we were not 15 minutes early, that was to him being late.
Mm.
I knew Ben would love Seton Hall because of how much he loves being a part of a team. He genuinely cares not only about how he swims for himself, but now how he can make the team better and how he can make the team better. So she also gave me a little bit of a fun fact. So your first ever swim meet, you cannonballed off the blocks.
That is a fact.
So that was a long time ago. What were you thinking in that time?
I don't know if I was thinking. Is the thing. I kind of was like, I didn't understand fully that was a race. So I like, they're like, take your mark, go. I did a cannonball and biggest splash, of course.
Of course.
Everyone else did a dive. So I was like, one biggest splash. And then I look up and my coach is like, go, go, go. And I was like, oh, and so then I put my head down and went. If I won, I don't know. It was a little long ago.
You won the biggest splash contest.
Oh,
that's,
100%.
That's the most important part of that first race. And you had fun during it, of course, which is
really
important.
Struck a spark.
Yeah.
One biggest splash and one for most fun, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah. So talk to us about now your time here at Seton Hall. Has there been like a favorite part that you've kind of had while being here?
Let's see. Favorite part, I would say weight room for sure. Like, the environment that we've had, I thoroughly enjoy. Like, I'll lift at home by myself. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever we have breaks, I'm like, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
This is not it.
Yeah.
Like, getting all together, like, getting the guys and just go move mountains. Like, that's what I want to do. Kind of cheering each other on, kind of chirping each other. Being like, oh, you only lift that? And then they put on another 25, and they're like, sore the next day because of it. I'm like, yeah, there we go. But... yeah, just pushing each other and kind of getting under each other's skin just to keep that support going.
Yeah.
I love it.
Get that competitiveness going. And I noticed you said move mountains, not moving wheels, moving mountains.
No, we're moving mountains.
Yeah, we're definitely a – because we don't lift a lot of weight, but we lift a lot of weight. That makes sense. Like, we're not lifting as much weight as you guys are on the baseball
Maybe
team.
Maybe Ben is, though. Maybe Ben is,
He can probably compete with you guys. But, like, a majority of us are, like –
it's a different type of strength.
I don't want to say it's maintenance lifting because we're moving weight.
Yeah.
Like
J-Lo?
Yeah, J-Lo can move. Justin Lopez can move some weight.
Right.
Like we're on the pitch chart. We were on the pitch chart today, and it's nothing close to doing a regular squat. Me and Shane Simmons were on the pitch chart. We put 445 on there and said, let's rip for five.
Yeah.
Like, we were moving, like, It's like I said, not the same. I want to make that very, very clear. Not the same as a regular
squat. I say we put 445 on a bar.
Probably not very well. But like, what are those? Like, you're moving, you're dumbbell pressing, what, 95s, 100s when you're feeling good?
Max I did for six was 105.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was a
he
was
moves.
A good day.
He moves wow. weight. He yeah. moves wheels.
But that's like, if I'm at home, can't do that. But here, when here you got the can. Boys behind you, yeah. you can do anything.
Hyping you off. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's an energy. Yeah.
It's an energy you can't get by yourself.
So Andrew's definitely going to like this episode yes. because a lot of weight room
oh,
talk.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of my favorite parts. I know a new – so coming in to Seton Hall, coming in from a high schooler, did you lift it all prior to?
End of my senior year, maybe. Like a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. Bud's Garage.
But yeah. Who's his? Describe Bud's Garage.
Bud's Garage. We had a weight rack and a couple plates, uh-huh. and that was about it. Didn't know what we were doing. Well, he did. I didn't. So he was like trying to teach me the ropes, and I was like, okay, like sort of get it. And then once I went to USMMA, that's when it took off. Cause like there, you can't leave on the weekends and go like just explore New York City. Like
right.
So there, it's like, oh, I'm bored. What should I do? Oh, I'll go hit chest. And like that's your outlook instead of like. Go out and about.
Right.
So, yeah, I would lift basically every day there. Like, wow. just, and some days I was the dumbest lifter out there because I would do like chest like 3 days a week, 4 days a week, sometimes in a row.
He was crushed.
Just, yeah. And then I'd be like, all right, we're like 3 weeks of straight chest. Maybe we should do some legs. Yeah. Well, like, this is bad. So then we would do legs for a week and then be like, all right, we're balanced and then go back. So,
Would you develop like some sort of like you're lifting, if you're lifting 7 days a week, yeah. would you have like some sort of split, like have like upper, lower?
That's
like
how back it should have been. Yeah, for sure. How it went? No, not at all. But I would be like, what am I feeling this day? And then whichever part I would be like, I want to improve in this, we just do that.
Got it.
Then, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, he is the strongest guy in the weight room on the swim and dive team, that is for sure. So talk to us a little bit about what a week looks like for someone a part of Derek's sprint and stroke practices. Like, kind of break down the week for us. So, like, if you're looking at a program like Seton Hall, like, what entails that?
Yeah, so we have doubles Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then we have only one practice Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So Monday mornings, it's kind of the same theme. But Monday mornings, dry land and swim. So Monday morning is my favorite morning, you know, aerobic.
Oh, yeah.
That's where my nickname comes about, the aerobic weapon. But, yeah, so Monday mornings is like aerobic, kind of get some distance in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for at least sprinters, it's distance. For the distance guys, it's like their warm-up. But so get some distance in, and then we do some dry land. So, like, today it was core and then some stretching mobility stuff. And then afternoons we got buckets, and then we have kind of two accessory sets that kind of go with it. So today was underwaters and turns, so it's either starts at turns or mm-hmm. something like that. And buckets, definitely my favorite.
What are those, just for clarification? So non-swimmer?
For non-swimmers. It's more weight. Yeah, okay. It's swimming with weight. So you put this belt on, and then you push off the wall, and this bucket's filled with water, and it goes up while you go out. And so you can load it with a ton of weight and
resistance. It's like when you guys run with a parachute. Like, okay, think of it like
it.
That.
Got
like,
it.
And, like, the more, obviously, the more water you put in, the more weight.
Right.
And, like, it's, like, a simulation almost of, like, resistance training.
Okay.
It's a great, really cool. It's something that you come here, to, you go to college, in college swimming, that's the biggest, one of the biggest differences.
Yeah.
So that's, like, a big, like, big.
That's a
like,
big upgrade.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Not all high schools have that. It's mostly college.
I don't
some
think,
of, like, the top clubs that, they're expensive.
Okay, got
so
it.
They're very
like,
expensive, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you'll have, like, maybe resistance cords, which not as much resistance because it's just a rubber wire.
Sure.
Rubber plates, that type of thing. But those things are money.
Nice.
They're huge.
Awesome.
They're awesome.
Cool.
And then, yeah, so you have that afternoon swim, like I said, and then you also have lift.
Right.
So, and then Tuesday is normally, like, a little bit of longer practice, Tuesday, Thursday. And it's more, like, so I'm in the sprint group, so it's sprints. Like, you just get up, go, and race. And I love that. Like, that's my favorite thing to do. So being injured, that was like, once I got back to being able to go like 100%, and Derek said, go 85. Sorry, Derek, but I want 100.
I got one gear.
Yeah. I was like, either go all out or warm down. Like,
yeah.
But being able to go 100% on those things, best thing ever. Like, love spinners want to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, going slow as a spinner sucks. So, yeah, you just want to go. Yeah. So that's like Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then Saturdays is normally like, the last big push before the weekend, and mm-hmm. it's normally the hardest practice. Derek always tells us that, like, Friday, get ready. And
yeah.
So we get up, go, and have a good time doing it.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, you're anticipating, like, it's one of those things where you enjoy the meets more than that Saturday practice because you know it's just going to be 2 hours of just hurt. Like, you're going to warm up, you're going to preset, and you're just, okay, we got about an hour of hurt.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be just head down, let's go race. Like, and it's tough, and it's like, but those practices also make you mentally stronger, physically stronger, obviously. You forgot about the two best morning practices of the week. Wednesday morning fin practice / underwater practice.
Yeah.
Best practice because Arnold Palmer's, shout out Coach Andrew LeBlanc, he loves those.
Oh,
which
he does.
Basically, that means Arnold Palmer is you go halfway underwater and then you either swim or kick, then halfway underwater off each wall.
I just have so much respect for you guys. It's, like, this just sounds like
so much fun.
I'm thinking about for me, like, swimming like, a lap or two, like, in the pool. And I remember Anna's talking about this too. And, like, looking up at the clock, it's like, it's only been 5 minutes. And you guys do it for, like, for hours on end over the course of the week.
It flies by.
Oh, my
goodness. It flies by. And then Friday, shout out morning, Coach. Volunteer coach Joey Lakis. We do our sock sets.
The beloved socks.
He's made them a little challenging this year for us.
Yeah.
He's really pushed us, and he's right now on vacation in Italy, so lucky him.
Yeah, shout out Joey.
Shout out Joey.
Yeah.
But he loves giving us those tough sock sets every Friday morning. So one more question about the swim side of things here at Seton Hall. What is some words that you would describe specifically the men's swim and dive team?
I would say determined, constant, a couple words we'll sling together, but constantly improving and just constantly looking to improve. I would say like that mindset of always like going to work and putting our head down and going, but also you got to like swim's big on the details. So if you're not able to kind of analyze your stroke and figure out what's wrong, so like you have a bad day, okay, what did I do wrong that day? What was off? If you can't do that, those bad days are going to string together. So it's like being determined enough to come every day and work your butt off, but also like being able to analyze those small details. And that's what I think we're always trying to improve, which is amazing. And you never want to be complacent, but
Yeah, that's for sure. And even just today, we have like a whiteboard in the locker room starting like a little kind of like an individual goal sheet to kind of more of like kind of like an accountability thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use mine, for example. So for my goal is to focus on the last three underwater kicks to my breakout.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I want to work on. That's something I know how to do. And everyone kind of wrote something. That's what we started this morning.
Got it.
Just so that when we're in the pool and like maybe we're struggling on one thing. Hey, remember that goal. Focus on that goal. Come
on.
Because a lot of it's mental. Like, like in any sport, it's like you're focused on another thing and then you're struggling and you're like, wait a minute, what am I doing here? I got to figure something out. Hey, let's go back to this the simple things and think of that. So that's something we started this morning. That's one of the captains on the team and excited to get that started.
What was yours that you had written down?
Mine, my pullouts. So we raced on Saturday and my pullouts sucked. So I was like, all right, we got to fix those up.
Uh-huh.
And then, same thing with just like being mentally strong. I was one of them. Because for me, like, at least today, we had a lift and then we swam after. And then we did underwater. So you just want to breathe. Like, that's the one thing you want to do in underwater. And so, like, mentally, my thing that I was saying to myself, I was like, just stay under, just stay under, just stay under. Because we had a count we had to hit. So it was like 10 underwaters, 8 underwaters, 6. And then we repeat. So it was like after that first round, when you repeat and you're back to 10, it's like just stay under. And like kind of turning that switch off in your mind, because you're going to have the kind of like little whisper in your ear like, oh, my shoulder hurts this day, or oh, I don't want to do this now, or like this and that. So my goal is just to turn off that switch and kind of just go.
Love that.
Yeah, love that. It. So from underwaters to the school side of things, you're good mathematical and finance major.
Yeah.
Talk to some of the things that you've gotten to do here at Seton Hall, some of the challenges maybe, some of the strengths that you found while being in that major.
Yeah, so definitely, as in the title, a lot of math, whole lot of math in that. So
big math guy.
Yeah, big math guy for sure. I definitely love that aspect of it in terms of, like, I can't write a paper. Like, I can, obviously, I can put two and two together, but it's like nails on a chalkboard for me. Mm-hmm. So definitely this side of it kind of utilizes my strength, and I'm just something I love to do. And so with it, I'm still, being a transfer, I had to make up a lot of prereqs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I haven't fully dove into it yet. But I would say this semester, I've gotten more like finance and in terms of that stuff going. So big fan of that. Some struggles. Yeah, kind of those English classes. Not going to lie. Like, just getting through those. Not that they're just, for me, that doesn't interest me. So it's like, still staying locked in, even though it's something you don't like.
Right. So. We would be in the library last semester. We'd get one of the little rooms.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd be like, I got to write this paper. And he's like, I'm going to write it starting like now. And then I'd like leave. And he'd text me like, oh, I'm just starting the paper now. And it'd be like 4 hours. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing on here?
And then I would have to delete like TikTok or Instagram because those hours would be gone.
Yeah.
And that happens.
So you talked about, you're kind of getting to the finance aspect of it now. Is there an internship or a shadowing opportunity that you're looking out for? Is there a specific field that you are trying to obtain?
So financial planning is kind of the route I want to go. So there's a whole lot that Seton Hall has brought to us. So Roberto, he... Mm-hmm.
Shout out.
Yeah, he's the best with that. He, any sort of internship that related to that stuff, he shoots your way. So... one of them that I'm applying for was American Express.
Okay.
Trying to get that. So we'll see if that happens. If it works, it was meant to be. Otherwise, it wasn't meant to be. Yeah. Kind of not too stressed out about that. But so, that's just one of them. But there's so many. Like, in the Stillman School, they send out a weekly notice of all the...
What?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
I know. They're awesome like that. But they send...
Shout out to them.
Yeah. They send out just, like, weekly stuff that... basically, like, career fair when that happened.
Mm-hmm, right.
Different internships for different parts of the Stillman School and stuff like that. So that's been so awesome with that. So,
yeah, that is for sure. Shout out Stillman School.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds amazing. So has there been a professor so far on campus that's, like, really helped you through that transfer process that has, like, kind of led the way in your academic process?
In terms of professors... let's see. None that really, like, pop out to me in terms, which...
Yeah, because you haven't really gotten the finance part. Yeah,
because, I haven't gotten to that part yet. But in terms of academics, Carissa has been a huge help. So when I came here, I only had 18 credits because I only did one there on trimester. So one trimester there. So I had 18 credits, 15 of them transferred. So it's like, okay, what are we going to do? So now she... helped me plan out basically all my years, all the classes I need to take, everything. So she helped me figure out that I need to take 18 credits each semester to graduate in 2025 instead of 2026.
Nice.
So that way I don't have to come back and take, like, if I do come back, because I'm trying to get another year of eligibility,
sure,
I can use it towards like an MBA. Awesome. So it's like such a huge help, and I couldn't have done that by myself for sure. So.
Yeah, she's a huge... all of them down there in academic resources are a huge help with... they have to deal with every, like, what are we, 200 athletes or whatever it is.
And the three of them.
Yeah, and, like, it's incredible what they can do in, like, making schedules for incoming freshmen,
right,
incoming transfers. It's incredible what they do. So thank you to all of them downstairs to really helping us through that process.
Absolutely.
One other thing before we start wrapping things up here. Let's talk about some faith here.
Yeah.
I got the opportunity last year with you to go to your church and help with, like, a spring clean out.
Very cool.
A lot of mulching, a lot of just cleaning up the church, getting it ready for spring. So talk to us about some of the things you still do around your church being only 15 minutes away.
Yeah. So kind of something I used to do when I was part of the program was Christian Service Brigade. So it's like a small group of guys get together, and it's basically like the older guys in the church kind of mentor and lead the younger guys of the church. So we have, like, activity patches that kind of show, like, different things like rock climbing and fishing and, like, that outdoors activities.
Cool.
But then they also mentor us in terms of our faith and, like, what to do once you get out of high school, which is a big thing because, like, obviously they've been through it. They know the ups and downs. And so it's kind of like a crash course, and like a how to approach life in a godly manner, which is definitely like it helps so much in terms of when you get in this situation, how to respond in the term in a way that God would want you to respond rather than the world, which is definitely a night and day difference. Mm-hmm.
Right. Has Seton Hall, was Seton Hall a pull for you in terms of like the faith aspect as well, or is that kind of just a coincidence and what more or not?
We're a Catholic school here and I'm Protestant. So in terms of a pull for me in terms of like my faith in Seton Hall was kind of location.
Sure.
So my church is only 15 minutes away.
Yeah. Awesome. Great.
So yeah, that was definitely a big thing. So it's like whenever I get the chance, I can just go right there.
Go home and all that. Yeah. Yeah. Homey feel. And we were looking up some information beforehand and I wanted to read off Psalms 23:4. I know that's one that you really like. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And the rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you, and why is that your favorite Bible verse?
So transferring is like a big, like, it's a shot in the dark. Hmm. So you don't, when you hit the transfer portal, and there it's like, once you decide you're transferring, you have to leave. Like, it's not like you can just stay there.
Sure.
So it's like, all right, we joke around in my family, I'm the college dropout. But it's like complete joke. But now I'm like, so it's like you're a dropout, then you don't know what's happening, and you kind of just have to have God lead you where he wants you. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing for me. And kind of like the first big test, I would say, in my life where it was like, let God lead you and let him kind of show you the way. Because, yes, there's going to be ups and downs, but like he's got the best for you in mind. And so he wants you to do the best possible. So that's where like, when doors got shut with, like, I was supposed to go to LSU, and they were like, we filled your spot. I was like, I was upset, but then I was like, you take a step back, and it's like, okay, that's a closed door, but another one will open.
Awesome.
So it's like taking that aspect and kind of putting everything in perspective. So, like, something bad goes one way, it's probably for a reason. So, like, something doesn't go your way, God's got, like, the best in mind for you. So
wow, I want everyone to hear that. That's awesome. Huge. Very well spoken, well said.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any upcoming events within your church that you're kind of looking forward to? I know we're not at that Christmas season yet or Thanksgiving season yet, but we're inching closer in that fall. So is anything going big on around at your church right now?
Something that I loved doing last year, and I'm not sure if they've done it yet, but it's called what is it called? It's basically, it's like Christmas in a shoebox. So what we do is there's a whole bunch of donations with like essentials. So like clothes, toothpaste, toothbrush, that kind of stuff. But then there's also like toys and stuff. And so what we do as a congregation is like we set up tables and you pick up a shoebox and you pick up a card that says like boy, 5 years old.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
then you go, I think it's like Operation Christmas Child or
got
something.
It.
Yeah, yeah, that's the name of it. And so last year I did it and it was so fun because like, we take for granted Christmas here. Like, we don't realize how much of a big deal it is, like, to get, like, we gave simple toys away. And, like, for us, we'd be like, oh, who would want that? But for other kids, it's like, that's makes their day, makes their year. Yeah. So just being able to do that and kind of give back and put those little shoe boxes together to make someone's Christmas that normally wouldn't have it.
Right.
It was huge. And I love that. So
I know at my congregation, we do something kind of similar. It's the Jesse tree.
Yeah.
Where you kind of pick a name or pick a boy, girl, certain age. And my family would go and we'd go shopping. And my mom, because now my sister's now in college.
Yeah.
So what she would like to do, she'd go pick out clothes and like she'd reminisce on like when we were really small. And then like now I get the opportunity to give someone these really small clothes as well. So like it's an awesome thing to do. That's like probably one of my favorite things as well to do around the Christmas time to do. Did you, when you were with your congregation, you mentioned being part of that, like that pack, I'm drawing a blank on what it's called.
Christian Service Period.
Thank you. Did you go on any trips? Because I know with my congregation, we went on a bunch of trips. It was only like two or three of us, but like we made it work and like we had a blast doing it.
A big thing for us was campouts. And so we would just, guys weekend, we'll go.
Nice.
And then there's people at our church who have like big plots of land where all woods and forests. And so they were nice enough to let us go there. And so we'd basically camp out, we'd fish, but then we'd also, those are like the times when you disconnect from your phone and everything where you actually get like genuine conversations because everyone's got their phone away. You got no service. So it's like you and the guys. And like you talk about like that's where a lot of the mentoring would come from. Like they would mentor us in our faith, kind of be like, kind of got be like, how's your life going? And then you get the chance to kind of reflect on it and go from there, which, I love those trips.
That's like refreshing too. It's almost like a retreat in some ways, detaching in every aspect, obviously from like your phone and whatnot, but just from like everything else, you can kind of be more reflective.
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough to have a few of those. I would love to have a few more, but man, I have to know how impactful they are. So it's
awesome. The best.
They were so much fun as a kid, just stepping back and like just being with a new group of people because it wasn't the same group of people you see at school or at swim and stuff like that. Also taking a step back, like for me, like personally from swim, like go on a weekend, like we would go down to Long Beach Island. There was like a youth group retreat down there and it would be four of us that would go and we'd have a blast. We'd leave Friday and come back Sunday. And we'd be like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
So to start wrapping things up here today, we're going to start first with advice to a pirate. And I think this one's going to be really awesome because this is kind of like the first time we're asking this type of question because we haven't had a transfer on. So what advice would you give to any pirate that's transferred over the past year trying to come in and be a staple and be someone a part of that team as a pirate?
Definitely trust like yourself. Like there's a reason you're here. And that's something I'm kind of finding out more this year. Like it took me a year to like fully trust like in what I was doing. I would say this year I'm more confident in that, but trust in your ability. Like, there's a reason the school said yes to you. Like, you didn't get in here for nothing. So, just, like, have faith in yourself. Have faith in the work you do. And just,
yeah, and you also remember, you've done it before at a previous spot.
Yeah.
And like you just said, they said yes. So, let's go rock and roll.
Exactly.
As they put it. So, as our last segment, this is, I've been ready for this segment. And walk the plank. I'm so excited because this is something that, knowing you now for 2 years, obviously, and a little bit in during club, that I can really poke some holes into. I got some burning questions I need to get answered here.
Sounds good.
I'll walk
with
the
me.
Plank. I kind of described it to you before we started, but they're quicker questions. Obviously, if you have an explanation to them, break it down for us. So, first one: Chipotle or Taco Bell?
Oh, got him!
I got him
first
stumped.
One.
Well, this is one of those explanation ones. So, so post meat, I'm going Chipotle all the way.
Okay.
So
a little
healthier. You just had exactly that health aspect. So you really want to make sure you get, you know, your fruits and not fruits.
Fruits. There's fruits in Chipotle.
Well, tomatoes. Yeah. That's controversial.
Right.
But so your tomatoes, you know, get that fruit, and then you get your vegetables.
I
your
love
grains,
this breakdown.
Your the
protein.
Beans, the protein, you get the whole nine. So that's like a good recovery, I would say.
Of course.
But, you know, every once in a while in training, you hit that point where you need just some more carbs and the bank account needs some help. So there's nowhere better than Taco Bell to, you know, just get that bang for your buck.
Okay.
You get those like 2,000 calorie meals for $10. You can't beat that.
Okay, but you beat around the bush. Which one, Chipotle or Taco Bell? If you had to choose right now, you're going to dinner right
Chipotle.
Now. Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Okay, fair enough. We didn't touch upon it during our episode, but you coach a summer league team.
Yes.
What is your favorite event to coach?
Ooh, butterfly.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I'd
figured breaststroke.
No, because butterfly is just so fun to watch what the kids come up with. Because you have your explanation of everything, and then you get to see them do it, and it's not at all like what you said. So it's like they're creative. So they get it going. So you see like butterfly pull with a breaststroke kick. You see just straight freestyle because they don't care. and then you just have some people that refuse to do it. So it's just fun to see all the options.
It's a fun mix, at least. You're a Dunkin' Donuts connoisseur.
I am.
What is your favorite thing to get from Dunkin' Donuts?
All right. So post-practice, still got a lot of homework to do. I'm going there and I'm getting a bacon, egg, and cheese on a croissant.
Of course.
It's a staple. And then I'm going to get an ice cream latte with... oat milk. Yeah, that was a new thing. I tried whole milk, and then someone was like, yeah, I tried that oat milk. And I was like, all right, I will. And it's a game changer.
Steps inside the comfort zone, and boom. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was
I'm never going back. So,
how often do you go?
It's like...
Do I need to answer that question?
It's pretty daily, if I'm being honest. It's pretty daily.
Are you on a first day basis with the staff there?
Not close.
Yeah. we'll go after a Tuesday and Thursday practice, and it'd be practice of 2:15 to 4:00, And after Thursday practice, I have class. And we'll be getting ready to go to class. We both have class at 5. We go, Duncan? He goes, you didn't have to say a thing. Let's just go.
Auto lock.
Yeah, I was already going then. So.
With or without you.
Yeah.
Okay. So describe the impact your family has had on your swimming career.
Huge. So in terms of just support is out of this world. Like, one, last year, I think they came to almost every meet they could, which is, like, insane.
Yeah.
Like, they would drive literally anywhere to watch me swim a 15-second race. Or 15 seconds would be crazy. But, like, 50 free, it's a 20-second race. And they would travel hours to watch it. So that's awesome. And in terms of growing up, like, I quit swimming, like, 3 times. I was like, I want to do it this year. No, I don't. And then, like, constantly going back and forth with that. So, them being, I think the last time before I said yes, my mom's like, we will support you, but you got to follow through. And I was like, all right, I got this.
Yeah.
But they were the best. So, like, they never, like, they would love coming to my meets. They would enjoy it. They're like, what are we going to do when your meets are done? When some parents are like, when are these things going to end?
Yeah.
And so it's like, they're always had the best attitude with it and awesome with that. And then they would also drive me literally anywhere. Like, so some meets, where was it? Ithaca, New York, sectionals. It's a pain in the butt to get there. It's cold. It's snowy.
A light 4 hours.
Yeah. Nice light 4 hours, you know.
In the middle of dead of winter with feet of snow on the ground, ice everywhere. Yeah, it's
crisp wind that cuts through your jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love it. But it's like, you know, with those perfect conditions and everything, they'll do it.
Yeah.
They'll do it. And I can't thank them enough for it. So
big shout out to the Ender B whole family, especially your parents.
The squad.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's awesome. Like everyone that has mom, dad, or whatever gardens in their life, like the impact they have on them is pretty incredible. Yeah.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
Favorite Ruben Sembrano quote?
Oh, gosh. I think one I'm taking this year is it's all mental. All right. Yeah, so like that underwater set where I was like, stay under. That's something he would say to me, 100%. And he's like, you don't need air. Like, you just don't need it. I was
you're fine. You don't need
it.
Yeah,
so any. Like doing that set, I was like, I don't need air.
Oxygen's overrated.
Like, I was like, I breathe all day. I might as well just stop now. Like,
you're fine.
Yeah,
you're fine. You
exactly.
Don't, you don't need air. You're fine.
Yeah.
One of my favorites too. You don't need oxygen. You're fine.
Yeah.
Right before a race, you don't need oxygen.
Yeah, I
awesome club coach. Shout out him.
He's the best.
Last one for me. Describe your swimming style in one word.
Aggressive.
Why aggressive?
Well, we kind of tapped into it with like aerobic work, but I just go for it, and I feel like that you kind of got to go for it in sprint. Like if you think too much, it's thinking slow. So you just got to go for it. Hope for the best. Whatever happens, happens. But definitely give all I got and just go. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, love it. And you can see that definitely in the water. So every time you race, it's an aggressive stroke, and it gets you across there and back as fast as you can. So I love to watch you race, and I can't wait for Saturday.
Yeah. And I thank you for coming on. We want to make this a thing, as I've said, for the past 9 episodes, now the 10th episode. We want to make this a podcast where we highlight the really good student-athletes in all facets. That's whether it's swimming, their sport, and community, classroom, the faith aspect, whatever, and you hit upon all those. So thank you for being you and being a really great representative of this university and keep doing your thing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate
of course.
It.
Thank you for coming on with us, taking part out of your busy day. Thank you, Quinn, who's right now behind the glass.
Yeah, shout out Quinn.
Yeah,
making
big shout
sure
out Quinn.
All the audios and stuff and the cameras and all that stuff is all set up for us. So we greatly appreciate him as we do all the help we get around here. So episode 10 is in the books. Cannot wait for that to come out. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Pirates Overboard. Go follow us and subscribe to our YouTube page at Pirates Overboard again. It's going to be a lot of fun graphics with this one. A lot of fun we're on a little bit of an anniversary. 10 episodes, a little celebration.
Like, double digits now.
Double digits now. So that's huge for the program. So make sure you go follow those pages for graphics and clips and highlights of each interview that we do. And we're excited to keep going with this and keep rolling. So from Justin Osterwick, Jonathan Luters, and our guest, Ben Endersby. Have a good night, everybody, and we'll see you next time.